everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Denise Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole, and this is the Dr. Denise Carve-Out Series on Staying Sane. We love the title, don't we, Dr. Denise?
Oh my gosh, it's like a reminder to myself. It's not, that's so funny, you know, when you're like producing anything and you like think, oh, how will the listeners like this? I'm like, oh my gosh, I need this. So it's like, I feel like the essence of having a mantra and being playful is part of staying sane.
So this week on Staying Sane is going to attempt to tackle anxiety. And it's an emotion that's near and dear to our hearts because we all feel it. You can hear me fine, right, Dr. Denise?
I can hear you perfect.
Perfect. So, and it came up organically because our very own Dr. Denise is feeling very anxious this past week.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, it's really interesting. I woke up Sunday morning and I don't usually have what are called panic attacks where your heart races, you have sweaty palms, or you just have like an inner knowing. And I've always, the way I view mental health and mental wellness is multidimensional. So we've got the physiological cortisol, we've got the unseen energy of picking up on other people's energy fields. So mm-hmm. I took a deep breath and I just allowed myself, this is like when we talk about being mindful, to have the feelings, but use it. You know, our body is literally a conduit. It's our own compass. And it literally was a warning sign. There was a decision I was making, which I won't go into details, a decision I was making, and it just wasn't sitting right with me. Mm-hmm. But then I also found out the next day that one of my patients in my practice was having severe panic attacks at the same time I woke up with panic. And now I can tell you that energy from a distance is real. There's times when we have, you know, mother's intuition. We have data that shows that this, Dean Radin's work. And so not only do we have our own physiological feelings of anxiety, but we can pick up on unseen energy, whether it's in the news, the media, or people that we love. And then I found out something else. So it was like three or four, someone I love was dealing with medical issues. So all at the same time. And I've had this happen before when I was doing Pilates. Another time I had this kind of intense, kind of more panic.
And I remember that.
Yeah. And I always ask, this is a very big tip, everyone. I did a post on this and ask, who does this belong to? Ask the question, who does this belong to? If you need to do it once, twice, or three times, then you can sort of ask yourself, well, what percentage is my feeling? And am I the other percentage? What am I picking up on? And so I'm really felt very fortunate that I use Sunday, which was the day this happened, to reach out to friends, reach out to one of my dear friends. I need to give a shout out to Beverly Bergman because she and I ended up doing like an alchemy, a master class in taking the feelings of anxiety. And we actually did a whole exercise to walk through it. So the reason why I'm telling you this is that we all have different levels of emotional stress. We can have panic attacks, we can have PTSD. It doesn't have to be a full-blown diagnosis. You know, people think when you see a psychiatrist or an MD, you hear the word stress. Stress is the most 75% of all mental health, medical, physical, and spiritual have to do with just the word stress. And so I feel like since you and I are coming together in a more excited, elevated way doing On Staying Sane, you and I need to discuss these bread and butter topics like stress and anxiety. So let me just finish how I got through mine. These are some tips. I reached out to friends. I did meditation. And my meditation's multiple ways. It's like quieting my mind, listening to my breath. I went to the pool for hours that day. I did what's called a walking meditation, laps of love. I did a prayer and I did a visualization and a whole exercise. And I went from having physiological anxiety to taking it. And I did like what I would call a 2-hour, almost like masterclass play with Bev, where we actually then got inspired for things we're going to do with a product to help others. So sometimes, everyone, we have stress or we have anxiety. And when we go into our suffering and really break it down, it's kind of where the magic can happen. You can really walk yourself through and use those feelings. The vibrational frequency of anxiety or stress is similar to excitement. So mm-hmm. by the end of that 2 hour from going from anxiety, I was excited about everything I learned and the deep dives and the deep healing. And then the next day I found out all this information that multiple people that I cared for were suffering at the same time I was feeling it. Because I'm what's called an empath, and many of us are.
Whew. Does it exhaust you then when you make it through and you do your master's class? Like, what kind of toll does it take on your body afterwards?
That is such a good question. I have to tell you, for me personally, sometimes it's fatiguing, but when I get out in nature, and when I'm in the water, when I am in water, water is a real big healing medium. I can feel refreshed and energized. But in the moment, Kathleen, sometimes it feels like you're walking or you're in molasses or quicksand because it's so much. So, you know, everyone has their own unique neurostyle and their tools in their toolbox. But once you start to realize you're multidimensional, you're not, it's not just about what a Western medicine MD would say, or with, you know, a spiritual guru, or, you know, it's a combination of a self-awareness. I was aware that I was fatigued, and it was great. I got, you know, you were also really helpful way back when I went through a crisis with a fraud. You said the word boundaries. That boundaries were really important in this situation, which it was literally a parallel process of making a good decision. And I just want to thank you too. I think when we're going through feelings of stress and anxiety, whether you have, like some people have a formal diagnosis of generalized anxiety or PTSD, but sometimes just being on planet Earth is stressful. You have to use all your tools in your toolbox to get through it.
It's interesting because, you know, when anxiety and stress happens, I'm always like, that's the time that you have to really slow yourself down and try to make your very best decisions. And because that's the time you can make incorrect decisions, right? Like about boundaries or your next course of action.
Or even how much you take on each day. Like how can you slow down your day when you're right. in that situation? What can you do like you did? A couple of weeks back when you called me
right.
and you
said, oh, I had that not, drama.
Yeah. How can you explain? Like
it was supposed to be a good day, but it is not. So, but what I was going to say is I'm always like, well, slow down and try to make very thoughtful decisions and really be as careful as you can, with making decisions. And my husband, who's a tax attorney, he said, you know, what they really say to do is if you're in that kind of crisis of anxiety and what crisis, right? Mm-hmm. They say, try not to make any decisions because, you know, you need to get out of that place of that vibrational frequency of anxiety and stress so that you can set good boundaries. You can make good decisions because when you're in that panic moment, it's really hard to be on your A game.
So can I give, yes, 1000%. And one of the things that we're talking about too, I think sometimes in the world of just being an MD and a psychiatrist, way back when mental health was not sexy and it was way more stigmatized, when I made the decision to become an adult and child psychiatrist, you know, people would say to me, well, how are you going to even know if someone has anxiety or depression? There's no exact test that you can do, right? Because it's how do we, so even on this show, we're figuring out how to talk about it. But I do want to give you some data that generalized anxiety for children is something that age 3 to 17 years, there's 1 in 3 also have behavioral problems. So children have in children, let me see what it says, 7.4% of children in the United States have anxiety. So it's really, really common, the 7% range. And then
can we put a link to this?
Yeah, so just put the link.
See your, yeah, so I'm that people can links. See your source. Because I'm like, who's reporting this? You know me.
Yeah. I'm just going to put two links to the how okay. common. Let's just say that anxiety is one of the most common mental health challenges for adults, children, and teens. And I'll put links to that. And then oftentimes there's comorbid stressors. So I'll put the links to that, meaning depression.
Yeah, what does that mean, doctor?
Comorbidity means more than one diagnosis. Now, okay, on this On Staying Sane episode, I wanted you to kind of let me know what you're, because you were news reporting the year, for years on stress and anxiety. So this right. isn't something new, but it's like, I think we need to do deep dives. Like, I'm almost glad I had that anxiety on Sunday, because we were going to talk about nutrition today. And I mm-hmm. thought, wait a second, we need to talk about just good old bread and butter stress and anxiety. So I even thought, now this is what we should do the show on.
Yeah. So let's bring everybody to current events. It's February 24th, and it's a Thursday when we're taping this show. And this overnight, there was, you know, the biggest military action that Europe's seen since World War II, right? So I went to bed after seeing it start. And then, of course, I had a bad dream about it. And when I woke up, my family is, it's always very quiet and very controlled in the morning because there's a lot of moving parts, right? You get it. To reduce anxiety, we make routines. But then my husband had the TV on. And so my elementary aged student was watching the salvos of war before school. And she's an anxious little kiddo. And I'm like, And then there was also a tease about a car that was a drawbridge went up here in our county in Florida, and the car was sliding down. And my husband was like, "Wait, I want to see that too." And I'm like, and I said, "You know, it's really interesting. It brought me into the world of neurostyles, right? The way we process and perceive the world around us. My neurostyle tends to anxious. My daughter's like, you know, aims at anxious." My husband has hardly any anxiety. So he just kind of doesn't compute like, oh, maybe the anxious elementary age student shouldn't be watching all this. Because I said, you know, we need to drive over bridges here in Florida. Like, we can't be watching this. We can't be watching, you know, later on when she's not around, that's an appropriate time to catch up. But it was interesting to me because as someone who doesn't feel anxious, that just, you know, that doesn't pop into the forefront of avoiding today's really rough news.
So I have a question. Did your daughter seek this information out, or was it just organically there?
No, my husband put it on. We don't normally consume news in the morning, and he put it on to see what was going on. So you know me, I had to like, you know, I'm very, very
That feels polite. Like a stop, drop, and roll, like dun, dun, I was dun. Like, caution, and step away yeah. from the, turn that off. Like, I almost felt like if you had like a slapper, you'd like slap his hand, like, stop. No, don't do that.
Right. The clicker right out of his hand, like, boom. No, but you know, it, oh my in God, my that, home, wait,
that's actually, you know how we talk about like a Yelp review, like a yeah. 5-star, when you're feeling like taking the clicker out of someone's hand because it's so anxiety provoking, were you feeling a 5 out of 5? Did you want to hit them too? What were you feeling in that moment? Because I know that for you, being a mother, the morning routine.
That's like sacrosanct, right?
Correct.
Like, yeah. I mean, so, right. I interrupted you, but the morning routine is what takes away the anxiety of, are we going to get out the door at the time? You know, we get up at a certain time, we do this at a certain time. And it really, you know, for people who are new to this parenting thing, that really can alleviate a lot of the anxiety. And as an adult, what happens is you start feeling anxious first that your kid's going to be late. They have no idea. They're tiny. They don't know late, early, And then but like you said, it's an energy that everyone then picks up on. So
well,
then
my
it's
son,
like,
okay, I'm glad you just said that. We were driving to his new sport, fencing, which I'm tickled with because this is a kid who spent hours just stuck in his room during the pandemic, like most of our kids did. And now right. that he's coming out of his shell, we're on our way and it's a new place and we were running a little bit late. It's kind of a tricky drive. And uh-huh. he says to me, "Mom, you need to stop stress driving." And I'm like, ooh. So he even came up. I'm like, wow, what a bright kid. I'm sitting there like, he's right.
Wow.
I'm like, what a great term. And I said,
and did he tell you why you needed to stop stress driving?
Yes. He's like, he could feel my annoyance on the freeway when people mm-hmm. were like cutting me off. I'm like, oh man. And because he can hear my, I was overly doing commentaries.
Yes.
And I tend to be more fun. And he could feel that I was not fun. I was like, mm-hmm. on a mission. I'm like, honey, every minute counts. And, but he's right. We're either going to get there on time or we're not. And does it mm-hmm. really help for me to have these in the moment reactions that he can pick up on, not only the physiological or the real things, he picks up on my energy field. In fact, we spoke about that today, about intuition on the way to school, about how I've been so transparent with him in communicating so that he knows his environment. So mm-hmm. I feel like that unseen energy of, don't you think your kids pick up on your energy? You just said it, that they pick up on your energy field, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I have one of my children will sometimes say, not all the time, but say, what's the mood of the house? Like, you know, when she's coming in from out and, you know, people are home, what's the mood of the house right now?
Wow.
Yeah. It kind of makes me happy and sad at the same time, right? Like, I'm like, well, you know, there's a little trouble with the printer. Oh, you know, like.
Well, but for some people, the trouble with the printer would be no big deal. But then depending right. on the neuro styles of the people in the household, right. that right. can be a red alert. And so right. I think one of the things I want to just have a pause while I'm hearing us, I'm like here talking. And I'm like also here with all of us. What are these ladies talking about? They're talking about different textures, feelings, and ways to be aware of your own physiological stress. And maybe we can break those down. And then also of those around us. So just being aware of stress and aware of communicating. The fact that she just said, what's the mood of the house? And my son said, you're stress driving. I mean, how cool is that? When I was a kid, the pulse of consciousness did not talk about feelings like this. We did not. We were more just linear getting stuff done. We didn't have this more
open. We're getting through it with silence.
Correct.
We were aware of the mood of the house, but we didn't dare mention it.
We didn't have the tools in the toolbox. I don't think humanity... We're at a different time in history where mental wellness, mental health, discussing mindfulness is just more mainstream. It's not going to go away now. I don't think so. So I'm grateful for that. But it's also the more media we have, it's like we talked about last time. We have to know your boundaries. By the way, I did from last week, Kathleen gave me a tip. I was having these news alerts come in during the middle of the day, so like I'd be with a patient and all of a sudden
those pushy news apps.
Yeah, I literally was getting, not even kidding you, like dun 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 Ukraine and Russia, dun dun dun, and I'd be in the middle of listening to someone that maybe is having a very tough day. So Kath, I will tell you, not only did I get rid of them, though now I haven't been paying attention to the news as much, so it's okay, I'll solve it. Because one of the reasons why I had those apps coming up is so I knew the pulse. But you even said a lot of those are clickbait. So mm-hmm. I did something to reduce my news stress. So I want to thank you because I do listen to people's tips. I don't just try to give them. I try to keep learning with everyone.
So in prepping for the show about anxiety, I checked in. I checked in with a couple different people, but I checked in with some mothers of elementary age children. And, you know, to a one, everyone has at least one kiddo who's dealing with like pretty serious anxiety, like the little things of childhood. For instance, one of the moms I was asking about the anxiety, her daughter recently threw up, right? And this little girl now is like obsessed that she's going to throw up again. And because it was so multi-sensory, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, am I going to throw up? Am I going to throw? And the mom explains it and all gets her all calmed down. And 10 minutes later, am I going to throw up? Am I going to throw up? And, you know, there, I don't know if it's an increase in children feeling anxious. I also talked to a school guidance counselor, and I can talk about that in a minute. But these little children really have some serious, from, you know, some children holding in their stool because they don't want to use the potty. It's scary. I see a lot of moms talking about that online. What do I do? You know, my child is afraid of sitting on the toilet. And I'm like, huh, what, was there that much anxiety when, you know, 20, 40 years ago, or are we as a society ramped up? Do you have the answer to that?
Well, I'd have to look at data. I don't, when I just get questions like the bottom line is in every, from, I know from when I spoke in India on nurturing children's mental health, that the rate of suicide in every age group had gone up but one when I was presenting that in 2018. And then from since that 2018 till now, everything in the pandemic is an increase in mental health, suicidal ideation, addiction, anxiety across the board. So the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't have like a scientific article.
Yeah, no.
But the bottom line, yes. And I actually, right before I went to record the show, ironically, I had a patient that has severe anxiety and all kinds of challenges, send me an email that this is an emergency. And I knew that I needed to get back to that beautiful soul in my practice and give them some advice on what to do to feel better. And if not, I can do an appointment with you, you know, sometime today. So the pulse of anxiety. So first of all, let's just break down when your child or when you're having anxiety. There's different types of anxiety. There's generalized anxiety. There's obsessive compulsive disorder. There's post-traumatic stress disorder. There is acute stress disorder. There is grieving and loss. So there's different types of flavors of reasons why.
And social phobia.
Yeah, there's social anxiety where we're in the room. We could look like we're super social and fine, but we're there, but we're actually like, listen, it's almost like you're your own commentary, but you're not your own best friend. You're like judging yourself at every move you make. So social anxiety, even the way it sounds like you're out in public socializing. You're like, no. Oftentimes the people that have social anxiety are the cool cats that look like they've got it down. But then they get out of it and they're like, that was awful. Oh yeah. A lot of times.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were the ones who stayed in their house.
It depends. That can be agoraphobia. So we can go, this is like almost like a just beginning discussion on generalized anxiety and stress. But since you brought up that example of a child with a tummy ache and now tagging, what we do as human beings is we have an event. And then we try to break it down. Like, so if we actually, like, she had a physiological throwing up. So right. Now there's this fear of throwing up. So then, you know, you would have to, as a parent, see how long that's going to last. We all have temporary fears. So
right.
Then you have to look at the whole multidimensional set of things around it. How long are they going to keep thinking, am I going to throw up? Are they having any stressors at school? Are they being bullied? Did they have a recent physical exam where they check their thyroid and they make sure there's no medically thing going on to cause anxiety? And I have people mm-hmm. who have, I have people who are teens that are kind of having pre-diabetes. They have maybe some health habits that weren't good during the pandemic, and they're having a combination of anxiety and depression, but they're also being faced with medical issues. So you have to also rule out medical, physical, mental health, and spiritual reasons. You know, there's kids pick up on the pulse of the household, like your daughter saying, what's the mood of the house? Or my son saying, you're stress driving. And by the way, he got in the car today. He's like, Mom, I just want to let you know, because my routine is I tell him 7:45. He's like, okay, go to the car, Mom. I'm like, okay. And he likes to come out without his shoes and socks on. It's his own routine. He likes to do that in the car. And then he tells me, I did this, this, and this today. He did it without me reminding him. That was a very successful non-stress day for us going to school.
Right.
And so I try to just, you know, we all have things we can do to calm ourselves down. So if a child, teen, or adult is experiencing recurrent generalized anxiety, fear of the future, panic attacks, severe obsessive compulsive intrusive thoughts that last greater than an hour a day, then there's some times where you might want to get cognitive behavioral therapy. You would want to consider meds way down the line. Anxiety is really definitely reduced markedly by meditation, exercise, good nutrition. But then if you have a family predisposition to different types of anxiety, then you might need to do a higher level of professional assessment.
I do. I'm going to put it in the show notes. For little children, I have this great meditation album. that's put out by a PhD. And it's like all these, it's for little tiny ones. Like older kids would be like, oh, that's too babyish. But it's like the worry train and how to like blow the balloon and do your breath. And I've found it. As an adult, don't tell anyone. I like it too.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I'll put that in the show notes.
That's great. And then, I mean, I haven't listened to the Calm app or some of those, but we'll put a couple other links because there's different ways people can look at different apps. By the way, I'm not getting paid for any of this at this point.
Right.
If I ever did, I would announce it. But for me, swimming's my moving meditation. Kathleen, we wanted to tackle stress and anxiety today. Is there other things? I know that these shows get listened to when they're shorter.
Yeah.
I
did check in with a school guidance counselor of high school age. And what she says is, you know, there is some extra stresses post COVID with like social anxiety of returning to school. Because they were out of the classroom for so long, it can be a little bit tricky to navigate all those, you know, different groups of children who you haven't been seeing. And also, I didn't think of this, but she says there's also some anxiety about their own health for high school age children. You know, there's so much worry about people dying with COVID, and that they see some children are kind of extra sensitive to a cough or a pain, or, you know, that maybe before they, so it's heightened anxiety in many respects she's seen.
So with that being said, do you want to do that? You guys, that can be part two. Do you want to do part two and leave it with that? And then we can record another show right now. Cause I think that would be its own. I can do that like in 10 to 12 minutes, but I'd like to do that separate.
Great. Yeah. I just, So
because I really have a lot to say about that, and I will. So everyone, Kathleen, this is very important. We just discussed how prevalent stress, anxiety, PTS, generalized anxiety. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive on what Dr. Denise, myself has been seeing that's real. I just had huge emergencies with this exact scenario yesterday. So it's like Kathleen's reading my mind without even knowing it. So thank you guys for listening. We gave some tips and tools on this show, and we're going to do a deep dive in that with even more.